And your bulletin, hopefully you'll find what we call a sermon insert. We give that to you. It's really the same thing that's in your Bible, but it's the in the version. There's different translations of Greek and Hebrew. All of them, I mean, not all of them great, but just great translations. It's one of the great translations, New American Standard Version. And we give that to you to be able to, one, follow with the words that I'm using out of the New American Standard Version, and also to be able to write on this, take notes, circle stuff, focus on the words, focus on what God's saying. My job each week is to do the best I can, and really our small group leaders' jobs are to do the best we can with illuminating, helping you to understand God's Word. But it's not about what I say. It's about you focusing on the text, asking God to speak to your heart. We're going to talk about the work of God's Spirit within us and working on us today. Ask God to speak to your heart. It's about what God reveals to you in the text, and for you to be honest with it, to be affirmed by it, to be challenged, to be taught, to be in every way led into a heart of worship for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've entitled this sermon today with a question mark. That is, where do I fit? We've probably all been in groups where we wonder where we fit. We've probably been on little league teams starting early in life going, where do I fit on this team? So it's a question that all of us have had through the years. And when it comes to the church as well, we have the question, where do I fit? If you're astute, you come to Cross Point, you go, wow, they're perfect. They got all the bases covered. Gee, they don't need me. That was a joke, by the way. Okay, that's a really bad joke. Okay, we don't have all the bases covered, and yet we do need you, and other people need you here. But sometimes you look around, you're kind of new here, and you're kind of looking around, and you're going, nobody really needs me. And I think that when it comes to the question, where do I fit, some would answer the question, I don't know, I fit pretty good right here in this pew. I come here, I want something to make me feel good and maybe something to better my life, and then I'll skedaddle out of here and, take what I like. And that's a very, if I could say, consumer-oriented mindset that's very prevalent in America today and in our churches today, and we're all duped by it to some degree or another, or at least influenced by it to some degree or another. And so, it's kind of this individualism. It's about me and Jesus, which is not found in Scripture at all, but we can be led to believe that, especially TV stuff. My church is on TV, and maybe you happen in here today. We're a very consumer-driven group, a very individualistic-driven group. I'm not saying this church necessarily, but I'm just saying Americans overall. And so we can kind of have the mindset, I don't know, I feel pretty good right here in this pew. Feels okay. If I like the sun, I get on that side. If I like the shade, I get on this side. And, it feels pretty good. Others of us, there's still that desire on the inside that God put there to belong. And not just to belong, but to belong to maybe two things. One is truly to belong to a family where I can give love and receive love. And truly belong to something very significant. Matter of fact, eternally significant. And that's Jesus' design for the church family. It is a family. It's an organism, more than an organization. We have some organizations, some churches more than others, this church less. But we organize just like any family does, but we're a family. And Jesus has called us, boys and girls would know this after one of the last Wednesday night groups, to the greatest mission on this planet. That one great mission that does affect eternity. A mission to share Jesus with the entire globe and every people group in the globe. A mission to build up each other in the knowledge of Christ, and the great, great call to be worshipers of Him, which has eternal impact. So we want to be needed, and we can kind of come to the church with two extremes. One is, nobody needs me. They got all the bases covered. Who could possibly need somebody like me? I got nothing to offer. That would be one extreme, which would be, I'm going to try to make the case today out of Scripture, but that's completely wrong. The other extreme is, everybody needs me. I don't really need others, but everybody needs me. That would be, can I use the word, equally arrogant. Both views are arrogant. Both views are inner-focused. Woe is me, or look at how great I am. God's given to each of us, through the course of our lives, I like this acronym. It was made popular by Rick Warren out of California. I don't know if he came up with somebody else that I don't really care. I think it's just a great acronym, and it's the SHAPE acronym. S, spiritual gifts. That's kind of the illustration today that we look at in 1 Corinthians 12. And so we're all given one or more spiritual gifts. We'll make that case today. That means abilities that God by His Spirit has given to us. Okay, each of us individually. And some might have more than one. We'll talk about that today. That's S. Then H is heart. God, through the course of your life, has worked a heart in you. Some have a heart for kids and their well-being. Others, it's like, love the people who work with kids, but that's not my thing. And we go on and on the list. So a heart. Some have a heart for the poor. Others, they matter, but that's not really where my heart is primarily. Okay. And again, the list goes on. A is abilities or aptitudes, kind of natural. Some people are mechanically inclined. Other people, not going to happen. You know, some people can keep a beat. Other people, just not going to happen. You know, so abilities, personality. That's a big deal. Some folks are pretty introspective and kind of quiet and mellow, and they're probably not going to be great greeters in a church. Maybe, but other folks are very gregarious and just, and there's all kinds of personalities that God's gifted to us and for a reason, okay? And not one's better than the other. And then E is experiences, which is huge. That's the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 and following thing, where God brings us even through sometimes really, really hard experiences to grow us as His servants, as His ministers to others that are also going through hard experiences. So a SHAPE acronym is I think, a pretty good way to see each of us and to see yourself and how you fit. What is my SHAPE? Where do I fit into the body based on my SHAPE? And that can take some time. It can take some energy and a little bit of courage and getting out and getting involved, and we'll talk about that today. Today, the great illustration is going to be spiritual gifts. But I don't want to leave out the other things God's been doing in us. Okay, again, God's shaped us to fit into the body. So I think spiritual gifts are used in this chapter as the illustration. I don't really think spiritual gifts are the big idea. I think there's some ideas that are bigger than spiritual gifts driving what he's saying about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to focus primarily on the bigger ideas as we go through. I've listed 19 of them, and the reason for 19 is as we work with preachers coming up, you don't want to have like 20 points in a sermon, So we want to keep it under 20, all right? So this is kind of a homiletics thing that we're working with here. 19 deals. We'll go through whatever we go through today. I don't know where we're going to quit. And then we'll hopefully, if there is a next time, pick it up next time wherever we leave off. It's not going to be a what we call a polemic or an argument that all of the gifts still operate today, or some of the gifts have ceased and they absolutely don't operate today, or something otherwise. We'll talk about that a little bit more in chapter 14 when we get there, but don't expect to hear a bunch of that kind of stuff today. All right? I may slip and say a few things, but I'm not planning to anyway. All right, so here's the topic. Where do I fit? This is kind of an experiment. I don't think I've done this before. I've taken your notes and written all over them. You can see that? So I didn't know how else to do it to make it neat and clean. So I've just kind of circled stuff, underlined stuff, and the spiritual gifts are in bold, so you can spot them kind of easy. But at the same time, kind of my notes I'm going to be going through are handwritten. and the numbers and the things circled. And so I hope it works. It's an experiment. We're not going to do this every time, but we're doing it today as a kind of an experiment. So you can see the points I'm going to be making as we go. Did I leave out your favorite point? Probably. There's some other points to be made, but these are 19 of them that are pretty important in regard to truths about spiritual gifts and truths about where we each fit in the church universal and the church local, this being a local church. Spiritual gifts is one of the terms. It's found in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. You notice gifts is in italics because it doesn't appear in the text. Now concerning spirituals. In other words, stuff from the Spirit of God. But it's okay to put in the word gifts by the translators because obviously as you go through the text, he's talking about spiritual gifts. When we get to the word gift, by the way, it's from the Greek word charis, which you might recognize, which means grace. So things that are given by grace. When you see the word gift, think of the word grace. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it. It's just by God, by his grace, just elected to give this to you, to be used in the life of the body as you serve others. Okay? So there's spirituals. In other words, they're from the Spirit of God, worked by the Spirit of God. And some of them appear to be very supernatural. Others appear to be rather common, but still worked by the Spirit of God. And they're from grace given to you. It's not a matter of deserving them. Just, I don't know why, God's given to you certain gifts and me certain gifts, one or more, and that's just the way it is. All right? So two of the terms that we'll be looking at as we go through the text. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant. Point number one is you can say, well, yeah, I don't care. Well, then you're clashing with God because God put in the heart of Paul to tell you, don't be ignorant on spiritual gifts, okay? So right at the front end, yeah, you need to know this stuff. You need to look at this stuff. You need to think through this stuff because I don't want you to be ignorant. I love you. I've given to you a church, and I've given to you a place in the church. I've given gifts to other people, and I've given gifts to you, and I want them all to work together, and I don't want you to be dumb about this, okay? So everybody good? Point number one is, this matters. It matters a lot. All right? The last thing you want is a, quote, church where everybody attends and then leaves. Like, what's the point? All right? Hear a guy rant for a little while and sing a few songs and get, I mean, what is that? You know, when we sing, we're singing to God, singing to each other, building up each other, honoring God together because we're in love together. When we hear the guy up there ranting a little bit, you know, we know it's for the corporate body and growing our knowledge of God together. And then we get in small groups and we're sharing and we're doing this, most of the stuff that we're going to read in this passage. And it's life together, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We got each other's phone numbers, addresses. We do life together. That's what you want in a family. And that's what you want in a church family. So now look, if you're here just attending, that's all you ever plan to do, keep attending, okay? Eventually we're going to get to you, though, all right? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's the first point. You know a little bit about this. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led. Yeah, different forces and whatever, you know, and you just were following after dumb idols. And we go, yeah, it was people a long time ago. Well, I don't know. Romans 1 says we kind of do the same thing today, right? You know, all of us before trusting Christ, what do we follow? We just worship and serve the created stuff rather than the Creator. No different. You know, we just have maybe a little statue, most of us, but we still, our hearts, our minds, and our, you know, our drive and our God was like stuff. You know, that's what we focused on. And it's not like, what's the difference? So read Romans 1 for that. That's all of us. And the point is, since you're gullible, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, pay attention to what I'm fixing to say. You know that before you trusted Christ, you know, you're going after stuff that was like, that was a really stupid way to live. Just a dumb way to live. That's me, okay? You were led astray by the satanic, by the world, by people around you, by what everybody else was doing, by advertisements on TV, you know, whatever. You were led astray. However, Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking, the Greek word is in the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God, God's presence, says Jesus is accursed. That ought to be an evident thing. Evidently, I don't know, maybe it wasn't in this place, you know. But, you know, Jesus is Lord. He is not accursed. And so somebody is, I think the idea here is, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, a lot of them have to do with speaking. And if we hear somebody speaking in such a way, it could be something as simple as a word of encouragement all the way up to preaching or whatever. If we hear kind of a despising of Jesus, you say, that's not possible. Yeah, it is. You know, Jesus is not the pinnacle of the teaching. Jesus is not the pinnacle of the words shared. It's not about Jesus in some teaching. Anything that's not about Jesus, it's not cool. That's not going to be from the Spirit of God. When Jesus was here, who did he glorify? The Father, always pointing people to the Father. He left, the Holy Spirit came, God's presence in spirit form comes to reside each of us, the Bible says. When the Holy Spirit came into us, who does the Holy Spirit glorify? Jesus. So you can know this, if you're speaking or somebody else is speaking, you're going, was that from God? If it's not, if the focus isn't on Jesus, may not be. Now, that doesn't mean, so now, it's fine to talk about the Bucks game or the Dolphins or what. Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when we're gathering together, we're ministering to each other. If the focus begins to be waned from Jesus to other stuff, religious stuff or whatever, that's probably not the Holy Spirit behind that, because the Holy Spirit is just intent on glorifying Jesus. And that's what he goes on to say. No one can say Jesus is Lord except, again, the word in, which is kind of like R-I-N, in the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. You say, does that make him, if someone says Jesus is Lord, does that make him say that means that God's Spirit's on the inside of him? No, it just means that the Holy Spirit's brought him along to a place, at least, it doesn't mean they're safe, it just, the Holy Spirit's brought him along to a place where they can say Jesus is Lord. In other words, try this one time. Go to an unsaved friend and just try to get him even to say Jesus is Lord. Now, unless God's Spirit softened their heart to some degree, they're probably not interested in doing that. They can say the vacuum cleaner's Lord. Yeah, but you bring up the name Jesus, something happens dynamically. Okay, so I don't think he's saying that this person's saved or lost. It's just that if a person's able to say Jesus is Lord, God's Spirit has at least brought them to some kind of a pre-salvation experience. They might be a cult member. They might be a cult leader, kind of a Christian cult kind of thing. They haven't come all the way to trusting Jesus yet as Savior and Lord, but at least they're coming along now in that state that could harden their heart. We need to be terribly afraid for them. But at least God's Spirit has brought them that far. They're responsible to come the rest of the way and surrender to Christ as Savior and Lord. Kind of an illustration of this would be Matthew 16. Jesus goes, hey, fellas, he's with the disciples. He goes, like, who do folks say that I am? They had some answers. Now, who do you say that I am? And Peter pipes up and he goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to him was, flesh and blood, in other words, Peter, your own brain power, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Listen, if you can honestly say Jesus is Lord, that's because God has shown grace to you, and by the power of the Spirit, he's brought you along at least to say that. If you haven't surrendered your life to him in faith and trust, we encourage you to go all the way. But at least he's brought you that far. So, point number two is, if something's going on in the body, in a small group, whatever it may be, if the focus is on Jesus and Jesus is being honored and glorified, that's, you know, we're on the way. If Jesus is not the center, I don't know. We got to be careful of that. Okay, why does God give us that? Because verse 2, we're gullible, and so we want to have a basic identifier. Jesus needs to be glorified in whatever spiritual gift is being practiced. Amen. Okay. Verse 4, number 3, there are a varieties of gifts, the same Spirit, a varieties of ministries, the same Lord, a varieties of effects, But the same God who works all things in all persons. There are a variety of gifts, charisma, things given by grace. All right? And you can see the redundancy here. There's the word varieties used three times, and then same is used three times. There's one Trinity. Notice Spirit, verse 4, Lord, verse 5, God, verse 6. So Spirit, Holy Spirit, verse 4, Lord, that'd be the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, verse 6, God the Father. Okay, so the Trinity's mentioned here. They are one. They are unified. There's no division in them whatsoever. It's one God, three persons. I don't get that. You don't get that. It's the, you know, God's way, like way above our pay grade. Okay, he's able to do that. That's who he is. All right, three persons, one essence. He's God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one. They are the same. They're always unified, but they have given to us varieties, and they've made us therefore a variety. So different ones here have different gifts. Some of us have some of the same gifts, and most of us have like different gifts. And there's going to be diversity because of that. And that's not a problem because we're focused on the same Lord, and the same Lord guides all of our gifts, whatever they may be, into a unified ministry together of building up each other and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's the idea with point number three. We are unified in our diversity. If you want a simple phrase to put down for point number three, we're unified in our diversity. How are we unified? Because we are focused and indwelt by one God. All right? Point number four, and five and six. To each one of us is given. Now, I want you to focus on the word to each one. You say, well, I don't have a spiritual gift. Well, you know, it wasn't given to you with a manual. Actually, it was. It's the Bible. God probably didn't put it in writing when he gave it to you. And by the way, we'll look at, it's possible that God will bestow upon you by his grace another spiritual gift or other spiritual gifts as you go along. Because later on he's going to say, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Well, why would we desire something if we weren't going to get it? It doesn't mean we're going to get it, but if you don't have the possibility of getting something, we've got to put a desire in us without the possibility. So apparently, as we go along, it's possible God will give us another gift. Possibly. Okay? So I just throw that out for your consideration. To each one is given. So at least when you got saved, you have at least a gift, a ability to serve the body. Everybody does. We'll go over what some of those might possibly be in a moment. Point number five, verse seven. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. What does that mean? God's Spirit is invisible, but we're able to detect his work when it's brought to our ears and our eyes. That's through individuals operating with their Holy Spirit in our midst, operating with their gift given by the Holy Spirit in our midst. And this is done, number six, for the common good. My spiritual gift, whatever it may be, is not about personal accolades. It's not about people thinking well of me. It's not about me. It's got to be about the others, the building up of the body. Okay, pretty good so far. So God wants us to know about spiritual gifts because they matter in the life of the body. God wants us to focus on Jesus Christ. That's going to be the Holy Spirit's guidance. God wants us to be unified even in our diversity. Diversity is a great thing. God's given to each one of us an ability. Number four, number five, this is the manifestation of the Spirit. God's Spirit works through us. Don't diminish him. And it's for the common good. Quite frankly, your whole shape, that acronym, is for the common good of other folks. God gives us what he gives to us as stewards to build up others. All right? And to be witnesses. Verse number eight. Four, now here's some of the gifts listed out for us. For to one is given a word of wisdom. I'm not sure why the article is there, but one is given a word of wisdom. Probably that idea of periodically God giving to this person or these people in a given body words that are wise. And that's through the Spirit. I think maybe an illustration of this, if God's, I'm not going to make a polemic for God doing certain things and not doing certain things. This is back in the time of Korinth, 2,000 years ago. When we get to chapter 14, we'll probably talk a little bit about, you know, what's still happening today, what's not. I will say this, though. Scripture, I think, is really plain in what's left out, and I don't think there's any passage anywhere, including maybe some of your favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 13, which we'll get to, that says God has put himself in a box to not operate with certain spiritual gifts. Okay? So you can't find that passage. Doesn't exist. If you find one, shoot it my way. But you can't. Okay? So we got to be careful. Okay? We got to be very, very careful. At the same time, I think we want to be, I don't know, my age, I've been talking to some of y'all that are like 80 and 90 about the senior years, you know, and trying to learn you a little bit about that stuff, you know. At my age, I'm in a place where, you know, I just want to live just totally free in the Lord. I don't want to force things on Scripture. I don't want to take things from Scripture. I just want to live just totally like in the sweet spot, relaxed in the Lord, not be uptight about a whole lot of stuff that we're not quite sure about. And, in my observation, some people claim certain spiritual gifts, and I'm going, I don't know. I don't want to be critical, but it looks like that's pretty generated by you, pal. You know, again, not to be critical. So God hasn't put himself in a box to say that certain gifts are going to end with the first century. At the same time, we're not going to self-generate stuff that God's not doing. Okay? So we're going to live in that balance. Again, more about that in chapter 14. I'll try to define that more clearly as we go along. All right, so with that, probably this is the way it was in Corinth back 2,000 years ago. God may still be doing this today. A word of wisdom. You could see the practicality of this. You could see where, like, that would be cool if that was still operating today. It may well be. And that would be like a church, we're gathered together, a group of pastors or the church council or the whole church gathered together, or maybe your life group talking about a ministry, doing some kind of a ministry in the community. And, you know, kind of at a little bit of a quandary, and we think we kind of got it figured out. We look at each other, and we're all going, yeah, we think this is the right way to go, you know. And then some guy or some gal pipes up and goes, has anybody thought about, and he or she says something. And we all look at each other going, why didn't we think of that? Yeah, that's the kind of word of wisdom that we want. And that's why in our business meetings, if everybody's unified about something, that's not really a settling matter for me. There might be a person or two that sees it a different way, or possibly one person who maybe is going to be given a word of wisdom to go, hey, what about, and then we all look at each other going, yeah, what about that? Never thought of that. Okay? So we believe in the priesthood of every believer, that God indwells every believer, and that we want to listen to each other. So we're not shooting for 51% on our votes. Almost everything in this church has been unanimous, almost everything. But even if it's unanimous, I think it's still appropriate to pause and to go, you know, does God have a word of wisdom for somebody that the rest of us haven't thought about? Why would God do things that way? I don't know, maybe like to keep us humble? All right? Okay? You know, we're not corporate, even together, we're not really that bright. Okay? I'm just saying. Okay? All right. That's word of wisdom. Possibly how it operates. You know, we don't have other passages in Scripture defining it for us. All right, take us there, but we don't. Word of knowledge, actually, I still wouldn't take us there because I kind of want to get the bigger ideas in the text. But there's no other place in Scripture where God's going, okay, this is the word of wisdom, here's how it works. Same with the word of knowledge. What's the difference? Yeah, I don't know. Some people say wisdom is, you know, knowledge. You live it out for a while, you get wisdom. That doesn't seem to fit, though, the work of the Spirit. So what's the difference between the two? Yeah, I don't know. And one's through the Spirit, one's according to Spirit. I don't think there's any difference there either. So I don't know. Third one is, I'm sure they would have known in this time. The third is faith. I think the idea with that is just that infusion into the body. It'd be like the Joshua Caleb experience, you know, where the report comes back, you know, the people call into the promised land. God's called them in there, and the 12 spies come back, and the 10 are going, we We are grasshoppers in the sight of them. Them people are big, okay? That's a rough neighborhood, you know. I don't think we need to venture in there, man. We're lucky to get out of there. And then Joshua and Caleb are going, God called us to it. We're trusting him. We need to trust him. And that should have been an infusion into that body of believers back in Moses' day. And I think sometimes we need that today. God's calling us to something, and yet we're going, man, that's just too, that's really? That's too big. Like, everybody involved with Bayfest becoming Christians because of some impact that's made this weekend. That's a big belief. Or the whole community being impacted somehow, some way through a given upcoming outreach thing or event or whatever. Yeah, that's, or the entire island coming to faith in Jesus Christ, or at least a large majority, in West Bradenton and Manatee County, quite frankly. Let's throw them in. You know, big things like that's a lot. And we kind of, every once in a while we need that infusion of a Joshua and a Caleb. Let's go do that. Let's get off the couch. Let's go do. So you can see where that could have been useful, and quite frankly could be useful today. Gifts of healings. That's in the plural. Gifts, plural, of healings in the plural, for what that's worth. And that would be, boy, we see that operated certainly in the life of Jesus and in the early church. Many hundreds, thousands of people healed by some of the believers in the early church, apostles, and plus a few others. And so God working the ability to heal. By the way, when I look at each of these, you know, we're all called to either all of them or at least most of them to practice all of them to some degree or another. We're all to seek God for wisdom, all to seek God for knowledge. How do I know if I have the gift? Well, you know, it's like it's happening. It's going to happen a number of times, and you'll see a track record. And the body will see a track record and go, we're expecting God to use you. You know, healing, I pray for miracles for people. Absolutely, I pray for miracles. I don't have the gift of healing that I'm aware of, but I certainly pray for miracles for people. If you come up here after the thing and you say, I've just been diagnosed with brain cancer, I'm laying hands on you. I'm going to call some others around. We're laying hands on you. We're going to pray. We're going to ask for a total miracle, whatever it may be. And so we do that all the time. Has God given to us any of us the gift of healings? Not in my understanding. I haven't seen it. But God's not limiting himself. And so may God do that in one or many of us, give us that gift. It's just exactly what it says. You pray for somebody, for some reason God's choosing to use you to bring a total miraculous healing in an individual. Okay, they don't walk, and now they're able to walk. They're blind, now they're able to see. Now, verse 10, to another, the effecting of miracles, or the working of powers. Miracles is the Greek word for power, dunamis. The working of powers, things that are powerful, things that kind of defy nature, or powerful things in regard to the satanic realm. And God chooses to use certain individuals to do that kind of thing, signs and wonders to point people to himself, that Jesus is still alive, still working, still active as he was when he worked powerful things in his ministry. Is God still doing that today? You can debate that. We'll talk about it later. But that's probably what that gift was or is. To another, prophecy, pro theta, pro is before, and that was some in theta is speak. Some would say it's to speak something before it happens. Others would say it would say it's to speak before an audience. You can kind of look at it either way. And quite frankly, in the Old Testament, with the prophets, and the New Testament as well, it was both. It was people speaking in front of other people. Most of it was pointing people, in the Old Testament, pointing people back to the first five books of the Bible, God's laws and how to live. That was most prophecy. When you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those guys, that was most, and you just look at the content of what they said, most of it was calling people back to his words in the law. And how to live out a covenant relationship with him. In the New Testament, seems to be more a point. Certainly, we have that going on with the apostles, and illumination of God's Old Testament words. On top of that, both Old and New Testament, we have some forecasting of the future by the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, for a person to say, "Thus saith the Lord," this is fixing to happen. If that didn't happen, they were to be put to death. Okay, it's not something you mess around with. So when people say, they walk up to you and say, yeah, I got a word from God, and God said to tell you thus and such. You got to be careful. You want to be really, you know, I step back a little bit just in case. I'm going to step back from you a little bit going, man, you better be sure about that. That's not a small matter in the Bible, okay? More about that in chapter 14. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. That would be like the Matthew 6 thing again, where Peter, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, you know, who do folks say that I am? And they piped up. And then Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus goes on to speak about going to Jerusalem shortly thereafter and being crucified. And Peter says, no way, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. And Jesus' response to him was what? A discerning of spirits. Get behind me, Satan. In other words, Peter, a moment ago you heard from God. That's cool. But just now, you heard from Satan. We're spirit. God is spirit. Demons are spirit. And God allows demons to speak to us to some degree, spirit to spirit. And God certainly speaks to us by His Spirit, spirit to spirit. And we got to be careful whose voice we're listening to. God's Spirit, obviously, is always going to line up with Jesus is Lord. We just looked at that. And Scripture. Satan's voice is not going to be so glorifying to the Lord. And so in line with Scripture. And so we want to be careful. But even Peter himself, you know, got it wrong. And so you can see where this would be kind of handy in a church group for one or more people to go, I don't know, you know, the pastoral epistles speak of the demonic working through false teachers, and it's good for us to be able to distinguish what's going on. Most of us can simply by the Word of God, but to have this gift, you could see where that, especially as the New Testament was being developed, you could see where this could be a very cool gift to have for a congregation. To another kinds of, and we see the word tongues, glossolalia. Probably your best bet for understanding, so you're not kind of freaked out about that, is just kind of be careful with what you do to your Bible, but you might want to just kind of cross it out or just put in parentheses languages, okay? Speaking with different languages. Tongues sounds like freaky. You know, the folks were given the ability in Acts chapter 2 to speak with languages they didn't know. This is the beginning of the early church. Jesus had just gone into heaven, and Jesus has left behind some believers. And about 10 days after he goes into heaven, you know, they're in Jerusalem. It's a big festival. And God gives 120 believers, maybe 12, but probably 120. You can take it either way. These believers, they don't really matter for our purposes right now. Gives these believers the ability to speak praises to God. That's an important concept. Praises to God in understandable or known languages that these guys didn't understand, or guys and gals didn't understand. And so they did so. And that's Acts chapter 2. And then when we get into to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, two chapters from now, we'll read that tongues primarily are languages, this gift of languages, seem to be primarily about praising God from the soul, from the spirit, from the inner man. We'll get into that when we get into chapter 14. So no more about it right now. But for our purposes right now, one of the gifts that God's given is various kinds of languages, maybe no languages or nobody on the planet knows them kind of languages. Regardless, this is a gift of just being able to worship God. Why tongues? We'll talk about that in chapter 14. Why languages that other people don't know? We'll talk about that in chapter 14. To another, interpretation of those tongues. Okay, so that's a gift of. I mean, that's a list of some of the gifts that God has given to us. I'm going to turn your attention to three other passages fairly rapidly, and they're found on your sermon insert. The next one is the next passage on your sermon insert, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, and this is the shortest passage on. Spiritual gifts. Now, again, spiritual gifts are illustrated, certainly in the life of Jesus. He manifested all of them to some degree, and even tongues. We'll talk about that later. All of them to some degree. Then the early church as well in the book of Acts, the history of the early church, you'll see some of these manifested there, okay? But in the letters, all the rest of the New Testament, there's four passages that we turn our attention to, and this is one of them. This is the shortest one, and it kind of takes all the gifts and kind of, you know, it's good for like spiritual gifts for dummies, like for me, kind of breaks them down into two big groups. So 1 Peter 4, Peter's speaking under the Spirit of God and writing, and he says this, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, charisma, something by God's grace, employ it in serving one another. That's what Paul's been saying in our passage. As good stewards, that means people that have been trusted with something valuable, of the manifold, the multifaceted grace of God. They're gifts by grace. God's entrusted them to us. It's just unthinkable to sit at home and watch TV. It's just, you know, you got to be with the body. If you're a Christian, you got to be, and you got to be exercising whatever abilities God's given to you. And so it's commanded. You know, you say, well, there's no command in the Bible to attend church. Maybe not to attend it, but to be a participant in it. There's all kinds of commands. This is one of them. And use it in serving the body, the growth and the building up of the church, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, whoever speaks... In other words, most of the gifts have, if you add them all up, have to do with speaking. Do it, as it were, speak forth the utterances of God. Make sure it's in line with God's word, what you speak. Use scripture, okay? Whoever serves, that would be kind of doing. So you got speaking, you got doing. If you're going to serve, do it by the strength that God supplies, so that, kind of like our passage in 1 Corinthians 14, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and forever. So whatever you do, do it to glorify God, whether it's serving, doing, or speaking. Okay? If I could, I'd like to... I'm very aware of the time, as always, as you all know. I got two letters that I received this week. It's just kind of an example, because right now you're still probably scratching your head going, where do I fit? I thought you were going to talk about where I fit. Well, you know, we're getting there. You got to stick with us, okay? So far, we've got some of the gifts listed. But there's many other gifts, and I don't think the Bible's all-inclusive on the gifts. I don't think any attempt, I think those are illustrations, not an all-inclusive list by any stretch. And if you go on to read Romans 14, the next passage, and Ephesians 4, you know, another passage, especially Romans 14, you'll see there's other gifts listed as well. There's no attempt anywhere to say these are all 20 gifts or whatever there may be. So the point is that God gives abilities by His Spirit, and shapes us in other ways to serve in the body to glorify Jesus Christ. And here's a couple illustrations on, where do I fit? These folks that are listed in these letters may not have known where they fit, still may not know where they fit, but they're not on the couch. They were out doing. And so these came in this week. Okay? I should pull out other ones, but it would take a long time. This is from a couple that a lady got mowed down in Brandon Beach by an automobile. And this couple has taken the time to write us this letter and mail it to us this week. Speaks about how God, the guy speaks about how he was on the concrete crying out to God for his wife who didn't have a pulse at the time. Could you imagine? This is in Brighton Beach a little while ago. They're taking the time to reminisce, to see how God intervened in their lives in the days following. And he mentions this. There was my new neighbor, Lynn Spadaccini, my new neighbor, Lynn, who offered to pick up my father-in-law from the airport, who had just buried his wife of almost 53 years on June 15th. The hands of Christ also would be extended through Ed in visiting and praying. Gwen and Lynn and Rhonda would help with cleaning as we had a transition of visitors. Over 30 days later, we would celebrate a dinner together with a home-cooked meal prepared by Lynn, which gave us some sense of normalcy, having to eat carried-out stuff. My wife, Jane, and I want to thank our church family at Cross Point Fellowship for being the arms and legs of Christ, as these are truly examples of following in the footsteps of Christ. To my knowledge, they haven't been to this church, but our church family. That's interesting. That's interesting. Taking the time to just go, here's a need. You need to do something. And so there's other things that this congregation did for them and that have been brought to my attention, but that weren't listed. Those are just some examples. That's folks stepping up. And then there's this letter I received this week. This is from a lady in, I don't know if it's Sarasota, Bradenton, somewhere around here. I guess it's Bradenton, but close to Sarasota. In a kind of a lower, really, really lower rent mobile home neighborhood. Way east of here. Obviously, everything's east of here. This lady is wanting to thank us for our awesome disaster relief team who have been on her mind ever since they came for this visit. She says this, I simply can't come up with words that are adequate. My gratitude is not just for all the tough, hot, unpleasant work you all put in. It was the fact that you guys clearly knew what you were doing, had her snowed, walked in my door with upbeat attitudes, and I had every confidence that your suggestions were sound. I can't tell you how sorely I needed that at that time. If ever I needed help, she goes on to say, this was one of those times. I was in big trouble. Did not have enough funds whatsoever to call Service Master. Her roof had been badly damaged. Her whole little tiny trailer was drenched, all of it, and it was a mess. I didn't have the funds to call Service Master in an all-urgent race against mold. She's right about that. What do you do when you can't get insurance? This cute little mobile home isn't the greatest, but I love it. And it's all I have, materially speaking. I did not have the option of bulldozing it and starting from scratch. You understood my emergency because that's what you guys are all about. In the kindness of your hearts, you came to my rescue. I count that as one of the top examples of community spirit that I have ever experienced. You guys are the best of the best. I hope you know that. That letter is to Dick Alvarez and Bob Rosas. That was this week, and that's if you're hard headed like me, we just don't really get the impact of what most of us take for granted, because we're loving each other, we're spending time together, we're building up each other, we're serving each other. Any kind of need goes out from here, everybody's jumping on it financially and with time and with everything. And it's like we're just this big family, which, you know, we are. But when other folks in the community experience something like this, it's just such a blowaway. Not again, lost people have the image of God, and they do good things. I'm not saying that. But it's just, you know, we're given gifts to be able to serve. We're given gifts to be able to speak. And I think for right now, I've got to close this thing down. For right now, the bottom line isn't trying to, I've got to go through the list, I've got to figure out, I've got to take a spiritual gifts test, I've got to figure out. Don't do all that. Just open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Get in a life group where you're hearing from other people. Be alert to the news people. Be alert to the neighbors. Be alert to the big picture of what's going on. Ask God to speak to your heart. And just as God speaks to your heart, get up and serve. As God speaks to your heart, get up and make a phone call. Somebody, saved or lost, this congregation or otherwise, may need a simple phone call going, I was thinking about you, and I'm praying for you. Do you understand the impact of that? How powerful an impact that is? Who can't do that? Is that your spiritual gift? I don't know. Does it matter? So I guess this is another in a series of sermons of affirmation. Y'all are fantastic in what you do. This is a sermon of affirmation. But as a sermon of affirmation, keep going. keep growing, keep doing it, keep being brave and stepping up and doing what God's laying on your heart. A good way to find your spiritual gift, by the way, or gifts, is be number one, be involved in a life group. Number one, be involved in a life group. Not attend, be involved in a life group. Listen to people, cry with people, pray with people, get to know people, do life with people. That's number one. Not a class, but a life group where people are interacting. Number two, be involved in a ministry. There's a ministry list on our website and also out in the lobby. Check out some of those ministries. Talk to somebody on staff. Look at one of the ministries where God's kind of, you think God might have shaped you to fit on a ministry team. Number three, come to stuff like Bayfest help us there in ministry there. And then number four, just be spontaneous. Just listen. Okay, Father, thank you for your grace so much to us. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us so richly. Not just materially, although we were very thankful materially, but you've blessed us with each other and with your indwelling presence. Most of the stuff that happens here that you lead, we're just under shepherds. But Jesus, most of the stuff that you lead in, I never even hear about it. But I'm overwhelmed with the vast amount of ministry that I do hear about. Thank you, Father, for giving us lives that are eternally productive together. And gifting us. And we just, right now, we just want to apologize to you for doubting you. You've given us very plain words today that each one of us is gifted by you, indwelt by you, to do ministry together. And it's arrogant for me to say that I'm without any ability to help others, to speak or to do, even if I'm in a hospital bed. And so, Lord Jesus, we apologize. We want to step out as we've trusted you as Savior. We trust you as Lord. We trust these words. Help us to go over them and over them and over them in our own time and to simply believe you, that you're calling me, you're calling each one of us to minister to one another. And as we go, we know you'll guide us and we know you'll bless and we know you'll identify certain strengths and abilities. So thank you for this body. Thank you for each one. Thank you for the amazing love and unity that is here. Thank you for the diversity of gifts and shapes. Thank you for being Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, purposely, not anybody's victim, to pay the penalty of the sins of everybody who would one day trust him. He bore the wrath of God in your place and in my place. And if you've never trusted Christ, I'm just begging you. I'm begging you. Trust Christ right now as Savior and Lord. You may not know all that means. Come on down. We'll talk about it. There'll be ladies and men watching for you. I'll be here. We got plenty of time. Come on down as we sing this last song. If you want prayer in regard to anything else, if you need a good hug, if you want to join the church, if you want, whatever is on your heart, feel free to come on down. You can pray by yourself, pray with somebody else. Whatever God's laid on your heart, go ahead and just respond to him during this last song. All right, let's all stand together.
Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount at poor, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins.
Thank you all for being here today. This area remains open if you want to talk to anybody or pray with anybody about anything that's on your heart. Please hear my plea once more, a reminder plea, that we need you to sign up for BayFest. I'm going to be really super involved in disaster relief this week. I'll probably be on the other coast quite a bit. Wayne may be, others may be. We don't have a lot of time to make phone calls. The thing's happening. So again, just pleading with you, please, if you can at all, sign up, give us your name for BayFest. We don't have a lot of time to put it together, and we're in trouble, okay? Small groups for all ages, and then a meal following that time with the Lord's Supper, and being filled in by Don in regard to prayer. Again, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. God make you a blessing.